With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Get the Hillman Morning Show on demand. Podcasts and more are always online and on your schedule at waaf.com.
Game two tonight at the Boston Garden, and it is my pleasure to have our pal Andy Brickley from Nesson on this morning. Brick, how are you?
Hillman, I'm doing great. How are you? Were you there Monday night?
I was. Yes, I was. And I was lucky enough to spend a good part of the game with two of the toughest guys ever to play for the Boston Bruins, your pal Jay Miller and Sean Thornton.
Nice pair.
Where do you rank Jay all time, by the way, as far as tough guys go?
You know, I was playing golf with him just last week, and we had that very discussion. And I was telling him from where I sat, my impression, that he's right at the top of the list. And the biggest reason was he put a lot of fear in people, and you couldn't hurt him. It almost seemed like he could take a shot right on the button, and he would just shake it off and keep coming. I think that's what scared a lot of people.
Speaking of that, it appears that when it comes to his injury, that Zdeno Chara is going to be fine and ready to go. And that's really hockey in a nutshell, wouldn't you say, Brick?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I call them non-issues, Hillman, to be honest with you. You know, when they had the luxury of the 3-0 lead against Carolina, they knew they were the far superior team, that they were going to win that series. It gave them the luxury to sit them in game four. You know, you read about David Krejci having the flu. You read about Marchand getting a maintenance day right before the start of the final. To me, those are all non-issues. They'll all be in a lineup, all ready to go.
Do you feel like the that 11-day layoff showed itself in the first period the other night, Brick?
Yeah, absolutely. And not so much, in energy and their ability to skate, but just execution, that's all. And once they found their game when they went down 2-0, and that was the beauty of it. They were down 2-0, but St. Louis hadn't played really all that great, I didn't think. They may have had a decent first period. Remember, they had 6 days off, too, after winning their third round. So, but, no, the energy was there. The energy in the building was great. Everybody was excited. You know, we had waited 10, 11 days to get this thing going, and the Bruins were in the zone. Their goalie was in the zone. They were playing great. They're coming off a sweep. They wanted to play hockey, and you could see that energy was there. They just needed to pay attention to detail more, move the puck, get sharper, execute better. And then you saw it in the second period, 18-3, they outshoot St. Louis. You know, you go back to that scrimmage game, and I don't know how you felt about that. I liked it. I liked the thinking outside the box, Yeah. Get into that game day routine, skate at night, not at 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning, get in the rhythm of a game day preparation. And the other thing that was crucial was they were encouraged to play at playoff, NHL playoff pace. Don't finish your checks physically, but play with pace. And you saw their skating game. It was superior to St. Louis's, for two out of those three periods, periods two and three, and that was a huge difference in the game. And I give credit to that scrimmage game, getting them in that frame of mind that bring your skating game because you're going to need it against the Blues.
And I think they were clearly the more physical team in the second and third periods.
Yeah, I thought St. Louis got some energy after the Shen goal gave them the 1-0 lead, and you could see that little jump in their game, and they try to be more physical. They're big boys, standing around there on Sunday on media day and seeing the St. Louis Blues come out to do their interviews, and, they get good size. They're pretty big guys, and they can skate too, but I think Boston is an underrated skating team. And the other thing, too, is that Boston plays an intelligent brand of hockey. They're very well coached. The players are open to coaching, and when you have a core group and a leadership group like they have, that follow their coach's lead and they believe in what they're trying to do as a team, you're going to get good results. And that's something St. Louis is going to have to deal with.
Where do you think the Tory Crews statue ought to go? I mean, I feel like, do you think it should be right behind the Bjor statue?
I'm just so happy for this kid. It's just, I think there's two things when you look at Tory. He's at that point in his career where, not only is he a terrific offensive player, and he's a quarterback. I know it's a loose term, but he's a quarterback on a power play that has five quarterbacks at times. It's so good. but he's encouraged to stay the majority of the power play. One of the reasons he logs a lot of minutes in the last couple of games because of the power play. But when you watch him defend and his ability to commit to defending, he's improved his technique on how to defend against bigger players. And that's all about a guy that wants to be, you know, a difference maker, a guy that wants to be considered a top four or three defenseman, not just a power play guy. And I think the way Bruce Cassidy coaches, you spend less time in your own zone, meaning Torrey Krug appreciates trying to deny plays in center ice. You know, the way Claude coached, and it worked for the Bruins, obviously they won a cup, went to a cup again in 13. You kind of gave up your blue line and protected the middle of the ice. Now you defend in your own zone, and that's tougher for a smaller guy. Whereas if you can be like Krug and Grizzlick and Clifton and attack in the neutral zone and force the puck to either be tripped by you or deny the play, turn it over, and get going offensively, that works for a guy like Krug, and it makes him a better defensive player because it's an aggressive offensive slant to how to play defense.
Speaking of Grizzlick, how great a story is it that both his dad and his brother are Bull Gang guys?
And his dad's been there for quite a while, you know. And you just gotta love walking into that building and seeing Grizzy's dad. You know, it's just, we saw him back in the day when we were playing, our generation was playing, and he had great hockey conversations with him then. And then you see his little son come around the old garden, and you know, just a rink rat hockey guy, and you knew hockey was in his future. And then to have it to be here in Boston in the NHL, and he's a terrific player, he's getting better, and now he's in the Stanley Cup final. I mean, yeah, stories like that are awesome.
Andy Brickley is our guest, and you guys are on Between Periods again tonight, Brick?
Yeah, so we do a full pre and post. Pre will be on Nesson Plus tonight. I don't know if you had a chance to see our set out on Canal Street. It's awesome.
Yes,
beautiful
it is.
Backdrop of the Hub on Causeway. We got a great location. That'll be Jack, Barry, and myself. Inside on Level 5 will be Dale and Billy. Alex will be at ice level. And that'll be on Nesson Plus. And then the post game, we shift over to Nesson. We'll do a full, you know, recap of the game. Billy and I will probably be up on 9. Everybody else spread around the building. Jack will get Bruce Cassidy with an exclusive after the game. And between periods, as we try to grow our digital over at Nesson, we have a chance to actually work the game. You know, we will take turns giving you some analysis in between periods on Nesson Facebook and Nesson.com. So you might want to check that out, too.
I think Jack is actually going to be attempting to sneak onto the ice at the the midpoint of the second period.
To do what?
What about when you look at a rookie like Cliffy Hockey, as they're calling him? How difficult is it for somebody like that to perform the way he has in the Stanley Cup final?
He's making it look easy, so I don't know how difficult it is for him. What you hear constantly from these young guys, these inexperienced guys, is that when they come into the locker room, how welcoming it is, and how easy the transition is, whether you're a young guy, you're drafted and being developed from Providence, or you come in at a, you know, trade line transaction deal like a Coyle or Johansson. They make it very easy to be part.
What? Oh. What just happened to Brick?
Belichick got to him.
What just happened?
Oh, boy.
Rick is probably most likely teeing off somewhere. I would imagine that he will call right back if he got disconnected.
Side of the face, hit the hang up button. That ever happen to you when you're holding the phone between your ear and your shoulder and then you're like, ah, crap. You don't know where the last thing the person heard.
I was getting full chills, by the way, because I cannot wait for this game to start tonight.
My boner's gone.
And Brick's analysis is so spot on, but I'm sure he'll join us again. Andy Brickley from Nesson. It is 8:25. I literally have like 3 further questions for him. Now we run up against the clock, and the question is, do I wait for them to get Brick back on the phone?
I bet he's still talking.
He probably is. That's the worst.
I know. What do you think? Hello?
When you're going on for like 5 minutes,
right,
and then you realize that the person is not there anymore.
What was the last thing you heard me say? But then, that's the worst with me if somebody's in the middle of a long diatribe about something. Because, like, when did I lose you? And I'm like, I don't know, 20 minutes ago? If I haven't been listening to anything they've said, I'm like, I don't know, like a minute ago. I forget what you were saying now, but just start over.
A texter believes that it's possible that Scott from Weymouth has some kind of a cell phone call jammer.
The guy's got a flip phone.
He is somehow jamming people when he is not allowed to be on the air.
Dumb phone.
All right. Well, give those guys a look tonight. Guys and gals, a look tonight on NESN. Probably a dead area. How are there still dead cell areas in 2019?
Do not get me started. Do not get me started. It's like, some areas are so great, and then all of a sudden, you go through, like,
there's specific areas.
Yeah. You get, like, this one zone where you can't get any service. There's nothing. No call. It's ridiculous.
There's two on the pike. Framingham, and then just past Westboro.
Really?
And it's, like, just a short period. If you're talking on the phone, though, gonzo.
Yeah.
That's right. 5G is going to kill us all anyway.
Also, there's on Route 20 in Wayland. There's one where you're just automatically going to lose your call. And Route 117 in, like, the Weston Waltham area.
Yeah.
Same exact thing. Which is horrible.
What a pain.
Yeah. I mean, you would think that from the perspective of all of the tech, I mean, we got Elon Musk building a tunnel underground from the East Coast to the West Coast that takes you a half an hour to drive there.
Mm-hmm.
And all right, well, maybe more with Andy Brickley coming up in just a few moments here at WAAF. All right, relief. Andy Brickley appears to be okay, and he's back and with us. We dead zone, Brick?
No, actually, I wasn't moving at all. I don't know what happened, but, you know, technology, it's above my pay grade. All I could do was turn my phone off and turn it on and hope it works.
There's something, it's got to be aliens or something. There's some kind of a sunspot or something. Even though the sun isn't out, there's something weird going on. But we were talking about tonight's game with Brick. I did want to ask, because a texter wanted me to ask you, if you believe that the Blues end up targeting Krug tonight, or do you think that doesn't happen because it's the Stanley Cup Finals?
I think the only way he gets targeted outside of just the regular run of play is if the Bruins have a sizable lead or St. Louis has a sizable lead. St. Louis has to win this game, no question about it. That has to be their total focus. And if Krug's in the way, then you're going to play right through him, no doubt about it. But as far as targeting, I really don't see that as anywhere near the top of the list is their priority. They got to figure out a way to beat the Bruins first.
And you look at, if the Bruins do win tonight, do you think it's likely that they sweep?
No, I don't think it's likely. It's possible, certainly, but obviously, being a Bruins fan, my wish is that they win it on home ice. So
yeah,
I'd be satisfied with a game 5.
See, that's how spoiled everybody is here, Rick.
Yeah, let them lose. Let them win.
Go across the continent back in 2011, win game 7. So, I mean, you take them any way you can get them, but you'd like to see the Bruins fans be rewarded right here. You know.
Speaking of 2011 and that team, and you got to see some of those guys as the banner captains the other night. What do you think are the similarities, if any, the similarities between this team now and that 2011 team?
Yeah, I think the fact that the guys that they brought back to be the banner captains is exactly what we appreciate about this Bruins team. You know, the depth of scoring, the production you're getting from your third and fourth lines and how reliant you are. I mean, Corrali scores the game winner. You know, he's a big game player. He loves the postseason, was awesome in the Winter Classic. And it reminds you of that Merlot line, you know, maybe even more offensive than those guys, but how much you relied on them. Corrali's line goes up against, you know, Tarasenko, Shen, and Schwartz in the second half of the game because they were getting the better of the matchup against the Bruins' top line. So to bring those guys back and recognize just how important they were to the success of that 11 team totally blends with exactly what we're watching from this 2019 team.
And I'm not going to say this because he is a listener and I'm looking for a pair of tickets tonight, but how much of a genius does Donnie Sweeney look like for that Corrali deal?
Do I get tickets too if I go good on this?
Yes, I'm sure. I'm sure you do. Yes. Yeah.
No, Donnie, when Donnie took over, and he'll downplay it, but you know, generally what new general manager has anywhere from a 3 to 5 to 6 year plan. Obviously you want job security, but you got a job to do, and his biggest challenge was twofolded. He had to get out of salary cap purgatory, so he had to make some deals that you knew you were going to lose on because you're not in a position of strength. Everybody knows you got to unload good players that are making too much money, and he had to do that. And then he had to draft and develop, you know, and everybody criticized him for the 3 picks, the 3 first-rounders he had in a row, because really we've only seen Jake DeBrusk out of those 3, and that's not a good percentage when you're drafting that high in the draft. And you hope that the other 2 are just late bloomers and that they'll get their opportunity to play in the NHL. So it was tough early on because you were in a position of weakness, and then you needed to hit on the draft. And as it's turned out, over the tenure, the drafts have been good. The development has been excellent. The coaching staff put together has been outstanding. And he still has that core group to build around. And then the acquisitions he made this year, the trade deadline, you know, worked in his favor. So he's looking good right now. And it's good to see that he had a vision. He knew what he wanted from this team. He didn't go out and get, you know, everybody wanted Mark Stone, right? And he signs a deal for about $12 million or something.
Yeah.
He didn't go get that kind of player. He went and got guys that were good depth, good versatility, and good team guys. And you're seeing great results from those acquisitions.
And speaking of banner captains, I'm hearing that that tonight it may be the greatest coach in the history of professional sports. Have you heard the same thing, Brick?
I have. I try not to get into the middle of that stuff. I want to be as surprised as the next fan when I get to the arena. That's my approach. But I've heard those rumblings, yeah.
And did you get the same chills when you heard Tom Brady?
how could you not, right?
I think that's what it's all about. So, all right. Well, it's Nesson tonight. You can watch before. You can watch after. And as always, Brick, it is great to have you on, and we will see you there tonight.
Always a pleasure, Hillman. Yeah, Nesson Plus for the pre and Nesson for the post. We'll see you tonight.
All right, there he is, Andy Brickley.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.